Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to us by our friends over at Band of Coders. Well, we have a great show with some tech leaders in the industry with us today. Later in the show, we'll be talking with John Souza, the founder of Social Media Marketing University. And we'll also be talking with Amit S. Jariwala, PhD and Director of Design and Innovation at the George W. Woodruff School of Mechanical Engineering over at Georgia Tech. But first up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we'll be talking with David King, the president of VOAPS. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about VOAPS and maybe a little bit of your backstory, how you got to be the president.
Sure, yeah. So actually, VOAPS is my fifth telecom startup, kind of a serial telecom entrepreneur here in Atlanta. Got the idea back in 2008. It was during the political campaign season, and I was getting all these automated phone calls from, you know, the political campaigns, those robo phone calls.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. So I sat around and developed a concept called direct drop voicemail, where we can take a recorded message and drop it right into your mobile voicemail box without calling you, without ringing the phone, without interrupting your day.
Well, and I bet it can be a lot more personalized too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can use it for those kind of campaigns, or we have a lot of folks in the call center space who are actually reaching out to people on a daily basis, you know, to communicate what needs to be communicated to the end user.
Well, I love that you guys over there, you guys saw a pain point and a problem, and you're like, you know what, we're going to come up with a solution to this, because I completely agree with you. Whenever I get that automated phone call, the first thing I do is I just hit end call, doesn't matter how it
starts.
That's
right, that's right. But if it just shows up on your voicemail, when you go to check it, you know, that's the time when you're ready to listen to a recorded message, ready to respond. We also see much higher response rates because you don't have that oh crap moment, like, oh no, not another recorded message, you know. So you'll sit down, you'll listen to your voicemail, you'll return that call and do some business.
Well, how does that work, and how do you guys come up with that technology to do that?
It's magic stuff.
So exactly.
I actually have a background in the signaling and voicemail with the big phone companies, and when I came up with the idea, I thought it'd be really easy. 2.5 years later, after working 2.5 years in my basement, along with a fellow named Jonathan, we finally figured out how to do it. So it's a lot harder than it sounds.
Definitely. Well, tell me how you guys are engaging businesses and really getting the word out about this concept. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started in the student loan space. We began to find there was real interest. People who service student loans have to reach out a couple of times a month to people.
Imagine that.
Students want to be contacted on their mobile phone. They don't want to be interrupted. Made perfect sense. From that, we really moved into a broader space. So we have a combination of direct sales and telesales that we use to reach out to any kind of call center that's trying to reach a consumer. They find it, used for the application.
Well, I can imagine there's a lot better success rate than all these other people that are out there doing the ones that just send out automated phone calls.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, our customers tell us that they get about twice the callback rate from a direct drop voicemail campaign versus their traditional method. So not only are our clients, getting more people call back, but it's better utilization of their call agents. Instead of sitting there making calls, it ended up going into voicemail anyway, but it took them 5 minutes to look it up, do it, and make the call. They can just press the button, deliver 30, 40, 50,000 messages, and then all of a sudden you have inbound calls. And every time there's an inbound call for a call center, that's revenue on the line. So
definitely. So it frees up more people so they can actually do assign the business,
right,
and have to deal with the getting of it.
Right, exactly.
So how long have you guys been around, and how are you engaging your customers even more? What's the future looking like for you guys?
So we've been around since 2008. Again, it took 2 or 3 years to develop the
Definitely.
Technology. So it was just last year when we did our funding here in town. From that, it grew quickly from 3 guys kind of virtually located around the city to 12 full-time employees, a couple of part-time guys, some folks in other states as well. And the future really looks like more call center work. It's amazing how many outbound communications call centers need to do. Right now we're focused on some of the tier one banks, household name banks, because they're doing a lot of communication with consumers.
Well, you guys can work with anyone, and I love the fact, because you're an entrepreneur, you found a way to connect the dots. You're not in there having to do the nitty-gritty or go out there and find people, but you came up with a solution for these call centers, and any kind of company can really use this.
That's correct. And it's amazing how many companies have call centers somewhere in their organization. So it really is a universal thing. Solves a real pain point about how do you reach out to that consumer.
well, I don't think anyone else is really doing this. Has more competitors popped up in your space, or you guys seem like the only one doing this right now?
We pretty much own the enterprise space. There's one company out there who I shall not name who is doing a consumer app kind of thing for your phone. But we're the guys that are doing large scale enterprise grade, you know, tens of thousands of messages at the touch of a button.
Well, and it seems like you have a huge customer base that you can reach out to, because I at least get about three here in the studio a day that are just randomly generated. I don't even know who's contacting me, because as soon as I hear that lady's voice or something like, do you want more of this or that, I automatically hang up the phone.
Absolutely. So that's what the thing is without that interruption, it's a much more effective communication. If you're not interrupted by it, you're more likely to listen to the message and to respond.
So are you guys over at VoApps developing any other kind of services that you're going to offer with this, or are you guys just really focusing on
this? Is our flagship product right now. We have a couple other activities, other voice applications that we have in the hip pocket, but the flagship application is Direct Drop Voicemail.
Definitely. Well, you want to talk about those little things you have in the hip, or those are coming in the future?
You know, they're kind of boring, but we can take a list of phone numbers and determine if it's a mobile number or a landline number. Sounds kind of boring,
well,
but if you're in a business,
those analytics are huge.
Exactly. If you're in business, we can tell who the carrier is. You know, is it Cricket, Sprint, AT&T, whoever. Those are the kinds of things we do. But by far and away, the one that's getting all the market traction is Direct Drop Voicemail.
Well, still, with all those extra little things, the value proposition to a company, especially because you're going to free up people just to sign business, is absolutely huge.
Yeah, that's correct. So customers love it. You know, they love the opportunity to solve a real problem, which is the reaching out to people on the consumer and doing it in a way that's legal. You know, there are a lot of rules around a business contacting a consumer on their cell phone. That's why you only get three a day instead of 23 a day. But those do not apply to voicemail. They're not never did, never will. And so it's a lower risk opportunity.
Well, definitely, too. And I think just the click-through rate, whenever I'm on my phone and I don't see a phone call come through and a voicemail pops up, I'm a lot more likely to go there and be like, oh, I missed someone's call. Let me go listen to this. And it's on my free time, too. When I check my voicemail, it's time that I actually have to do something.
To respond, exactly. It's on your time scale, which I think is one of the – we call it asynchronous communication. It's communicating when you want to communicate back, not when the company or the business forces you to communicate. The other interesting thing is that on the smartphone, for the 53% of folks that have smartphone, oftentimes it just shows up and says, you know, here's the call number, like on a visual voicemail. About 10% of people actually just press that number right there and call you back without even listening to the voicemail. So that's one of the other drivers of a higher callback rate.
It's a really good point, too. And it didn't interrupt me. I wasn't in a conversation. My phone didn't ring, or one of my Pebble smartwatch didn't notify me that someone was calling me. But I look back, oh, someone called and call straight back. And then you actually talk to a real person without even having to deal with automated message at all.
You got it. That's exactly right.
You guys are just so forward thinking in this. And you started this back, you said 2008?
2008. It took us 2.5 years to work the technology out. Like I told my wife, ever since Alexander Graham Bell, 130 years of people have been trying to make sure that phone rings every single time. We're the first people to try to make sure it did not ring. So it took a while.
I love that. Well, you guys really got down to the problem, and you found a really solid problem, and I'm sure you did a lot of customer experience and research and found out that this was a huge problem. People pay big bucks, money to solve it, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the, and when you find that market that really where you're really providing an innovative solution that lowers cost and drives revenue at the same time, then you start really getting that traction. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you need more of? Do you need more customers? Do you need more just businesses to reach out? Are you guys doing good? Or
we're definitely in a growth mode right now. So we no longer even refer to ourselves as a startup anymore. We're a growth mode at this point. So we're adding four or five large call centers a month. And right now it's all just about expansion and growth and, hiring people and engineers and making it happen. So,
well, I'm sure you guys have a great word of mouth. One business probably tells three or four businesses that, hey, this is awesome.
Yeah, especially in the call center space. Those people go to trade shows for call center people, and we get down there in front of them. We'll sponsor some activities and things like that and get the word out. So it is a large word of mouth, but there's also a lot of activity, just doing the work, grinding out, making those phone calls and reaching out to people as well.
Well, how do our listeners reach out if they want to learn more on your website?
www.voapps.com. That's VOAPPS.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I absolutely love the technology, and we love just serial entrepreneurs here in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Amit S. Jariwala. Did I butcher your name, or is that pretty good? Or?
That's perfectly fine.
Okay, that's a first. And he's the Director of Design and Innovation at the George W. Woodruff School of Mechanical Engineering over at Georgia Tech. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit what you're doing over there at Georgia Tech. I love the school. My great-grandfather, Lyman Hall, was very involved there, and also my brother went there. So,
well, Georgia Tech is an amazing school. It has the largest engineering college in the U.S. And what we are trying to do here is try to create students who are not just job seekers but also actually job creators. So we are trying to involve these skills where students learn their engineering education, but they're also ready to go out and face the market and actually create a working product.
Well, and I mean, you guys walk the walk there too. With you guys have ASTD over there, and you guys that you guys are coming up with a bunch of cool different companies and jobs and a lot of good ideation over there.
Absolutely. We have lots of students who are now starting to build their own companies, and Georgia Tech is providing huge support to them to actually give them the encouragement and the support to go out and be bold with innovations. It's always intimidating a little bit for these graduating seniors to think about innovation and think that it's literally very difficult. Only Einstein and Newtons can come up with these innovations. But now we are making it really simple. We are actually teaching that with an engineering degree from Georgia Tech, you can actually go out and commercialize your product and idea.
Well, really easy too. And Georgia Tech, I know this from, I think, a statistics. It was like 4 years ago. It was 1 out of 6 people from Georgia Tech like start their own business and become millionaires.
Absolutely. We certainly want to have that number even raised further.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, how you ended up at Georgia Tech, and just a little backstory about yourself.
That's quite an interesting story. So I was always interested in academia and industry. I wasn't entirely in one place or the other. I always wanted to be a bridge. So I came here for my PhD back in 2007, and now after finishing my PhD, which was just last year, I ended up with this job from Georgia Tech, which was trying to create this bridge between industry and academia in a way that we are not too much aloof from what the real world is. Because in academia, it's very easy to go down, drill deeper into equations and all of these theories. But what I really wanted to do is create engineering graduates who can actually understand this theory and apply it to practice so that we have novel innovations coming out, not just some theories that they work for logic.
Theories, and they'll sit around a table and they'll talk about it for hours and days and months, but then don't actually go out there and do anything.
Absolutely. And in fact, that was one of the points that always intrigued me, as in how can we use these cool ideas to come up with a real product.
Do you have any examples of stuff that's sort of come out of this program or done anything?
Absolutely. So we have this cool course called the Capstone Design Course. It's a final course that students have to take, a culminating course, before they are about to graduate. So okay. It's kind of a capping stone that gives them the certification that now you're ready to face the world. It's a course where they use their years of learning experience at Georgia Tech and use it to work on a real-world problem. So we get problems from the industry that students can work on, or they work on their own ideas. And the idea is that we give them the support and the resources and an entire semester under the guidance of a faculty to transform their ideas into a product. And there are several examples that we'll be having, but a really cool way to learn about it is to come at the Capstone Design Expo, which will be held next Thursday, at 24th of April, at 4:30 p.m. at the Basketball Stadium of Georgia Tech.
Okay, well, who do you all want coming there? Do you want future people that want to hire people, or people that might be interested in these ideas and actually like funding and executing them? Or?
Well, you know, we have audience which come there ranging a huge variety. We have high school students come there.
Really?
To get excited about STEM education, because now you will have these students who are presenting their ideas, and you have these high school students who come and see what engineering is and how exciting it can be. We also have recruiters. Those are all our sponsors who come to recruit students who are trying to figure out who's those right set of people who can work in their companies. And we also have potential investors, because they are looking for the next generation ideas. And there are students over there who actually have ideas with a working prototype, and they are showcasing them.
So they go through this class, and they come up with a working prototype, and they come up with an actual problem that they're solving with their with some kind of design they've built. And then they either have investors, or how many people get jobs or get funded after this? I would have to think it's a large number, especially coming out of Georgia Tech.
Absolutely. So this expo is actually a very cool exhibition. It's the nation's largest exhibition of student innovations. We have around 900 graduating seniors who will be participating at the expo. That's around 170 teams. So imagine 170 different ideas which are right there. And we have lots of larger companies and small companies who are coming there to kind of do the recruitment. One really cool aspect of it that we have recently started is we have started to partner with local entrepreneurs who have an idea, but they don't necessarily have the technical skill set. Whereas Georgia Tech kids, they have the technical skill sets, but they want to work with an entrepreneur to get to know how exciting it can be to be, work
the
with
the business side of it.
The business side of it, exactly. So now we are partnering with local entrepreneurs and having them work with our students. And there are many new ideas that are now coming out of it. One of them is the problem of medical adherence. So usually people who take medication often forget to take their medicines on time.
Definitely.
And one of the problems that arises out of it is it leads to medical complications, and it can be also fatal in many cases. So what these students are coming up is an interdisciplinary team from mechanical engineering, biomedical engineering, and electrical engineering. And these students have come together to create a small device which you can slap onto your medical tablet bottle, and it can talk with your phone. So now it will remind you, hey, it's time for you to take your pill. And once you take your pill, it automatically resets the database.
So that sounds so cool. Is this little adhesive would it be given by the doctors or something? So the person wouldn't even have to think about it. They just have to have their phone. And it's like, all right, it's synced with your phone now, your Bluetooth. Now you can it'll tell you when you need to take the pills.
You know what? The team is actually in the process of provisional patenting the process, so I'm not at the liberty to talk
Never
much
mind
details. But you can see all of that because Georgia Tech is also helping these students file for provisional patents, and they will be doing that right the day before the expo because they are still trying to cram up all their projects together. So on the day of the expo, it will all be open for public disclosure. So again, 24th of April, next Thursday, 4:30.
I'll have to come and check it out, definitely. Well, it's got to be exciting for you guys because Georgia Tech is one of the best technology schools, especially for engineering, computer science in the nation. And there's so many entrepreneurs now like David Cummings starting Atlanta Tech Village, and you have Hyponos. You have all this stuff, and we're trying to make incubators to ASTD. We're trying to do a lot of different stuff here. So Georgia Tech kids are actually staying here in Atlanta instead of moving out to San Francisco or going to New York and stuff for this stuff. So that's got to be exciting for you.
Absolutely. And the way we are trying to do it is also through our Georgia Tech Invention Studio. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but that's the nation's largest student-run makerspace. We call it as the design, build, and play space. It is space which has over $1 million of equipment. It's all open for students across Georgia Tech. All you need to come up with is your identity card, and you get to use all this equipment to literally transform your ideas into reality. So we have laser cutters, 3D printers, water jet, and all this cool equipment, which are basically toys. So rather than after the school go back and play video games, you actually play in the invention studio and actually create inventions. And because of all these facilities, they are now able to realize that being an entrepreneur takes risk, but it's fun.
Well, and those aren't cheap pieces of equipment either. So to Absolutely. Even get to learn on that, think about it as if a job's like, hey, have you ever used a 3D printer before? Or they're like, yeah, I've got hundreds of hours on this, and I designed this product on my own before I graduated from Tech. And you mentioned earlier there's high school students coming to this state excited about this kind of stuff. That's got to be an awesome value proposition for just going to Tech. It's like, hey, we have all these resources. And guess what? You'll be able to use all these tools in the real world. You're not going to go to school and we're going to hand you a piece of paper and say good luck. You're going to go out there and you're going to be confident about, I can do something with my degree.
Absolutely. And that's a very interesting point. Up until 5 years back, we would do these paper-based designs. And now we have changed it to becoming more hands-on design, build, manufacturing. US is going towards more of a manufacturing economy, and we want to encourage all of that. What's also happening is that because of the Invention Studio, we get lots of more recruiting of students because students love to actually get their hands dirty. That's what engineers love. They love to build things, and they can do it through the Invention Studio.
Well, definitely. Well, having my brother graduate from Tech and knowing a lot of different people there, the thing that I think you guys do with your teaching, which is great, and you guys do it all across the board, is you teach people how to fish. Instead of showing them how to, like, giving them fish and teaching them stuff, you say, hey, here's the designs. And these kids know how to learn, and they go out there, and they spend hours outside of the classroom continuing their education, actually learning how things work instead of just memorizing something and taking a test, which I find amazing.
And that is amazing. And in fact, you will see that you will actually be able to witness all of that at the Capstone Expo. So, for example, we had this project from General Electric, and they actually made a small cooling system, which can fit very tiny spaces. And all it works, on the process of how we breathe using our lungs. And they came up with this idea, a novel device. But they were thinking, okay, we have this device. What are the applications of it? Well, let's go to Georgia Tech and ask these kids, as in what new applications can come up with. Maybe it will start creating new companies. So they ended up having two teams from the Georgia Tech Capstone Design Program, and these kids are now creating helmets which can have these anti-fogging systems inside. There is another team which is trying to create a gym attire which you can wear, and your clothes will get cooled down as you're working out at gym. So what we are trying to do is give this open-ended challenges to students. And now they can come up with it, use the design process and actually come up with real tangible solutions to problems.
And things that we would never even think about. And they're just like, they're trying to do the most off-the-wall thing because they want to do better than this person. The competition's there. And I love that whole aspect of it.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you mentioned about the competition aspect. So again, at the Capstone Expo, we have around $10,000 worth of cash award being given out to students. There is really, really a tough competition going on. In fact, if you come at the campus this semester, this week, it's going to be extremely kind of a hell week. But it would be amazing if you can come at the 24th of April at the Capstone Design Expo 4:30 in the McCamish Pavilion, which is the basketball stadium of Georgia Tech.
Well, this is also why I've seen so many Georgia Tech students, and they get maybe 6 or 7 jobs offers a week because of the programs you guys putting you through. They're all great students, and they can work in any kind of work environment. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys need more of? How can we help really get the word out about the expo? And
I think that really what we are looking for is connecting with the local entrepreneurs and local companies. We have these big companies which work with us. We also want to engage the local community and basically tell them that engineering is fun and exciting, and we want them to be there at the expo and basically give this encouragement to students, because these students have never had a real-world experience, and now they are actually getting into facing the real world. So what we want is a huge, huge crowd of people who can come and encourage all of these kids and talk with them. Many times these students who have their own ideas, they want a reality check that whether this idea is workable or not. And when investors come by, seasoned entrepreneurs come by, they can give them this feedback, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, I think you just mentioned there, that's the most important thing there. And these students are going to learn so much more from, they might have such a cool idea and it might work perfectly, and then some business guy says, well, this isn't going to make me any money, so sorry, we can't develop this or do it. And that's a reality check for them, where they learn a lot from that whole process.
And in fact, that has happened in the past. Some of the entrepreneurs have come and said, well, you've created this product for X application, but really is an application for Y. So why not shift the market? And that has been a good pivot point for many of our past teams.
Definitely. They're like, this isn't your customer. This is your customer.
Exactly.
So that's how. All right. Well, I love that whole aspect. Well, give me the date for the expo again, and how do people sign up for it, cost, and all that.
Awesome. So it's all free. It's open for public. And you
can
actually sign up as a judge if you want to be at capstone.gatech.edu. That's capstone.gatech.edu. And it will be on the 24th of April, that's next Thursday, just a week from today, at 4:30 p.m. at the McCamish Pavilion. That's the basketball stadium for Georgia Tech.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have John Souza. He's the founder of the Social Media Marketing University. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me a little about this. I love the name, Social Media Marketing University. It sounds very interesting and very forward-thinking.
So we've been around since 2009. We're right now currently the largest social media training and certification program in the U.S. We also do management for social media companies across the U.S. as well. What we learned in social media, that a lot of companies are out there, they're trying to find out, how do I get leads? How do I get revenue? How do I understand how to brand my company on social media? There's a lot of noise out there, and people don't know how to really cut through that clutter. My background, I think, really helps us out, because I was an investment banker, which has absolutely nothing to do with social media.
Definitely.
What we cared about in the finance world, coming from, you know, NYU in finance, is that we cared about results. So what we do, what we focus on at Social Media Marketing University, is really a philosophy: listen, learn, and implement. And what we care about is real results. And that's really what differentiates us from everybody else. We've had, over the last 5 years, 125,000 people attend our different trainings. We've had 7,000 people go through our different certification programs. So our goal is to go ahead and let people understand, in companies of any size, small, medium, and large, is how to understand social media in such a manner that they're really getting real results versus people spending their time playing on social media. A lot of companies are out there, they say, well, I have someone doing social media. Just because you have someone on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn.
Their brothers, daughters, cousin.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean they're actually doing anything that's actually helping you. And a lot of times they're actually hurting you. Because, you know, we look at Twitter feeds all the time, or Facebook feeds, when someone says, well, analyze my account. And what we see promotion.
Yep.
And then, you know, there's no engagement. The key is engagement. And when you look at things overall, and when you think of any business out there, what is the goal of online? The goal of online is to get offline.
Yeah.
If you go online to stay online, that's going to be a very, very short, you know, business philosophy. You have to take it offline at some step along the way. And what we've really focused in on is, our trainings, how do you get real results? And what we find is that companies are, you know, people that go to our trainings really fall into three main categories. Either they're the person that magically was in the marketing department and their boss kind of tapped them on the shoulder and says,
this is yours now.
This is yours now. Or they're the small business owner saying, I can't afford to hire someone. I need to understand what to do to go ahead and do it for my company. Or it's somebody that is saying, all right, I may be someone in the senior level of a company. I may need to hire somebody else. Or on the opposite side, I want to go ahead and start doing this as a job for other companies. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable the amount of jobs right now that are in the online digital marketing field keyed and focused on social media. I mean, you go to Monster on Indeed. I mean, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of jobs that are open that are just waiting to be filled for people that just don't have the skill set. And that's really what we specialize in, is providing with that skill set.
Well, like I said, 2009, very forward thinking. This is when some people were still saying these social medias were still going to be trends. And you definitely realized, hey, this isn't going away. It's just going to be more prevalent coming up. So I think that's great that you guys thought about that. But also, like you said, social media is all about building and nurturing relationships. It's a great tool, but it's not something that's going to sell business on its own.
Well, exactly. When you look at the time horizon of your client, isn't going to buy today. It's not like you're going to Burger King and you're buying a burger today because you're hungry. In social media, it's all about planting that seed and having that evolution of that cycle and that sales horizon to the point of, you know, someone comes and says, wait, I have this problem. Well, you know what? I've been engaging with this company over the last maybe, you know, could be 3 days, could be 3 weeks, could be 3 years. And you become the de facto place where they're going to go for that service, because they already go back to the core philosophy of business. They know, they like, they trust you.
Definitely.
And that's what's easily done. And when you look back at in my investment banking, how that really kind of benefited me going into the social media world, is that I was very successful as an investment banker because I leveraged my time. I did a group breakfast. I did a group lunch at 11:30. I did another group lunch at 1:30. I did an end-of-day meeting, and I did my very valuable clients at the end of the day. I was successful because I saw more people per day than anybody else.
It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. And social media is all a numbers game. How do you go ahead and how do you send your message? Instead of one-on-one's okay, but one-to-many is a lot much more preferred.
Yeah, and definitely. They're still not understanding this. You're seeing a lot of, I know in Twitter, a lot of, well, pay me $25, I'll get you 2,500 followers, and they all have a picture of Justin Bieber on them or something or that. But you mentioned earlier, I mean, the job market for social media is so huge. It's the Wild West right now. It's not like you need a degree in it or anything, but you guys have already, you're coming up with a program where people can say, hey, I've got this certification or this or that. I'm trained in this. I can really do it.
Well, it's amazing because companies out there, and we have two large Fortune, really 50 companies, that send all of their training people that get hired for online and digital marketing to our training, so they have a base understanding. They know what they know when they come in. Because the challenge is, you can sit there and say you know Twitter and you know Facebook and LinkedIn.
But
even when you look at here, all of our understanding is very at different levels. And I may understand Facebook better than you. You may understand LinkedIn better than me. You know, someone may understand Twitter better. But when you go ahead and you have a certification as a certified social media strategist, you know the baseline knowledge that everybody has by getting that certification. That's really what our goal is, to standardize and help people get jobs. And what we've seen is really life-changing events. We've had students that have actually gone out of our courses, got a six-figure salary, stock options, bonus, international speaker, and one gentleman on top of that became an instructor at a university. So these are some absolutely amazing success stories of people. If you want it, it's there for you to take. Just go out, and again, it goes back to listen, learn, implement. If you don't execute, nothing ever happens in life.
Definitely. So how do you guys stand ahead of the social media? I mean, there's new elements popping up left and right. It's ever-changing. I mean, they're changing the interface here and there, and they're experimenting. How are you guys standing ahead of that?
Well, I'd say that's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is that separates us from everybody else in these companies that try to do what we do. The bad thing is that it creates a lot of work for us to go ahead and stay up to speed, because we have to keep our accreditations up to level to make sure that we're still teaching the right things. Because the last thing you want to do is say, you know, Twitter has an update and you're going to a course and the course is what we call stale.
Yeah.
Because unlike a university where you're going to a business policy or an accounting course that literally the book hasn't changed in 20 years, these courses change midstream. They may change on a monthly basis. They may change on a quarterly, but at the bare minimum, they change a couple times a year. So we make sure we're up to date. So the philosophy that we have is that we make different trainings available on a weekly basis. We have a thought leaders call. We actually have one today with Ekaterina Walter. She wrote the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Think Like Zuck. So she's going to do a call with us today at 3 p.m. We have inner circle calls on an ongoing basis, and where you can go ahead and you can find out exactly what's working right now and getting real results in social media. Because that's, again, you know, and I kind of keep on honing in on this. That's what we focus on. What's working now? We don't care about cute tricks or windows that are open or short-term things that you can exploit. We care about long-term goals that you can implement, and especially for companies that you can scale the results. So what we've learned from our certification courses and our inner circle and our thought leaders calls, that's how we keep people up to speed. Because once they become part of our Social Media Marketing University community, they have access to all these benefits. So when companies go ahead and they put someone in that position as an online digital marketing expert or their social media strategist, if they're part of our program, they know the person already has the skills to stay up to speed. And that's really, really critical, because most companies say, oh, well, John or Jen, they're handling social media and they can stay up to speed. No, they can't, because there's too much going on. And how do you, as a sole practitioner or one person, kind of discern what works and what doesn't work? Leave that job up to us. And that's the message that we get across. Definitely. What's actually working right now versus here's a nice cute trick that may or may not work and you may waste a lot of your time.
Well, you bring up a really good point and the value of it. If you got John or Jen and they have their daytime job and they're like, all right, well, do the social media too because you're young and you know how to do it. The value these people put on that is, oh, that's something else I have to do. It's not that important. And they might just leave it by the wayside and hardly do anything with it, and they're not getting an ROI on their social presence over the internet.
And it goes back to engagement. There has to be a social media action plan. There has to be metrics. You know, there's different tools that are out there that you can use for social media and analytics. However, what we found, a lot of companies, they measure their goals in different ways, because when I always go back to a company, they say, well, how do I get ROI on it? Well, and my first question is, tell me about your sales funnel.
I love that.
If they can't tell me about their sales funnel, there is no possible way that they will ever get ROI from anything they ever do in a marketing purpose. They need to understand their sales funnel. And once they understand their sales funnel, then you can say, okay, are you looking for, you know, how many suspects do you need to become a prospect? How many prospects do you need to become a lead? From that lead, what's your closing ratio? Who's actually doing the closes? Because ROI is based upon closes. Who's doing those closes in your company? So if I go ahead and I give Jen, you know, 30 hot leads and she doesn't close anything, is that the person that's doing social media their fault, or is that Jen's fault? So that's where you really need to go back to what your company is doing, what their end goal is in mind, and then kind of backtrack and reverse and saying, okay, this is what needs to get done. These are the metrics that are cued on the social media person. And this is when the handoff happens to the inside sales or the outside sales team, because there has to be that handoff, because most businesses, you know, don't do all their business in e-commerce. We happen to do a lot of our business in e-commerce, but when you're doing e-commerce, I mean, you can literally measure every inch of your website to a really finite degree, which is great, but also is an ongoing effort at the same time.
Well, you bring up a great point that business is business, and if you're not good at your business or you don't understand how it works or how you're selling things, or if you are selling things, social media is not going to help you. It's not a magic fix to anything. It's a great tool to leverage, and it can be a great lead generation tool. And I know a lot of people, I know a buzzword going around right now, I don't know if you guys teach about it, social selling is a huge buzzword going around in the last year. It's something that's popped up as a new thing. Do you guys do anything with social selling?
Social selling is just the ability to take it from online to offline.
Yeah.
I think it's a buzzword. I don't know who created it. I wish I trademarked it, but along with my other trademarks. But social selling, that's just the capability of taking it online to offline. Unless there is a way to take it online to offline, for most companies in America and across the globe, you're going to have a problem turning in any ROI. What we found in one of the recent studies that we found with Twitter, people absolutely love Twitter. But the challenge is 96% of the people don't understand how to get success out of Twitter. So you have really weird responses. You have, I love it, but then almost everybody says, I don't know how to get results on it. So it's, you know, and that's really where we come in. We say, okay, all right, let's kind of clear out the noise and let's go back to, you know, listen, learn, and implement. How do you generate leads, revenue, and branding? Because, you know, your goal may be leads. His goal may be branding. Her goal may be, revenue. And so there's different goals, and everybody says, "Well, I want everything." Well, you can't have everything in life.
And it's not good to have everything.
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. And there is a philosophy to that, and there's a way to get things done the right way. But what we care about real results done the right way, no fluff, no BS. That's what our training is. It's training. It's modules that people go ahead. They listen, they learn, and they implement. And you as a business owner, it's great for you to do it. But also at the same time, if you're hiring somebody in this capacity, it is absolutely critical. I mean, absolutely unbelievably critical. If they're not properly trained and you think magically that you're going to get someone that's out of college or that was in their past job a PR person or a marketing person in their former career and they did some PowerPoints and some brochures and they're going to do a good job on your social media without being properly trained, it doesn't work. I mean, think about it. Would you ever have someone says, "Well, I'm going to do your electrical at your house because I'm kind of good with tinkering with toys." You're not going to do that.
I'm sort of good with numbers. Let me do your accounting.
Exactly. But people let people, handle their social media that way. And think about this. That is your brand. That is the most important thing you have. Without your brand, if you tick off customers, and there was a whole debacle with US Airways actually yesterday, sitting here tweeting out a triple X, rated picture,
yeah,
mistakenly, but those things can really kill your brand. And you see time and time again, week after week, these blunders that are done by not only small companies, but extremely large companies. And to me, that's troublesome because with proper training in anything in life, you can be good. If you put your mind towards it, there's virtually nothing that you can't be good at. If you put your mind towards it and you have proper training.
Well, it sounds like a no-brainer for any big company to send a lot of all their social media people through your services. And I think the best benefit is, I mean, you come from a business background. You speak their language. You can explain the value in business terms. And this is business. This is how it works. And it's no different than a kid coming out and is like, "Well, this is how you follow someone. And this is how you do a tweet. And this is a hashtag." And all this confusing stuff that doesn't mean anything to the higher ups. You're really teaching them what social media is and the power of it and how it fits into the business.
Well, you're absolutely right. I don't think anybody would confuse me as a fluffy guy and a creative guy. Is that I care about real results. Everything's measurable. Coming from my finance degree, and I did an entrepreneurial program at MIT, is that everything in life has to be measured, and you have to get some results out of it. Unless it's in, if not, it's a waste of time. And what I look at is, all these issues in social media can be cured, and it's an absolutely phenomenal way to build your brand and generate leads and generate customers and generate revenue and move it down a dial. And also, it's a phenomenal way for small companies to become very, very, very large. I mean, there's companies out there that you would think they're monstrous in size just because they end up, you think they're everywhere. And there's ways to do this in social and retargeting ads. There's ways to become everywhere in social without sitting here and having a massive budget. And that's the one thing that I always say, that every CEO, entrepreneur, every person that wants to go out and be a social media strategist, get properly trained, because first of all, it's a very, very lucrative career. It's a very, very rewarding career because you're always learning. I mean, where can you really go nowadays? And once you get your degree out of college, that you can always learn. There's very few occupations out there.
Definitely.
That you can always learn, and you can always keep your mind sharp, and you're with people that are really cutting edge, and they're extremely bright people. I mean, one of my good friends is Guy Kawasaki, very well known.
Definitely.
Simon Mannering, one of my great friends, We First. I mean, phenomenal guys, but these guys are
thought leaders.
They talk the talk, they walk the walk, but they care about results. They care about people. And there's a way to go ahead and get results at the same time, still be a part of the community. And what my goal is how do I move the needle on all these companies? Because I come from investment banking where I benefited the investment bank that I worked for. But now how do I change the paradigm for companies across the U.S., across the globe, and say, okay, how can I move their needles? And that's something that, with 125,000 people gone through our trainings the last 5 years, I mean, we have some amazing, amazing success stories. But again, these success stories are built upon people that went to our training and implemented and executed upon that plan. Because if you don't implement and execute, it doesn't make a difference.
So what does the future look like for you? Are you going to have one of these in every state or every country? Or what's your plan for the future of this?
Well, the future of Social Media Marketing University is really twofold. Is that, first of all, we are global in scope because we're on the internet. And
okay.
Any company can go to smmu.com and enroll in any of our courses or certifications or even our Inner Circle program. So anybody can go ahead and go online. So our goal is to grow that. But right now what we see is that we're actually partnering with universities and educational institutions, a lot of technical schools, like two-year technical schools, yeah. because this career is in such high demand. In what they lack the learning and the knowledge to go ahead and put on those courses,
yeah.
and they lack the resources to make sure those courses are updated. So our goal is go ahead and, again, have more people doing social media the right way for real results. Secondarily, our management side of the business is where we do social media on behalf of companies, small, medium, and large. And in fact, one of our main clients is SAP, which is one of the largest companies in the world. You know, we do a few divisions of SAP social media. So what we learn while we do their accounts, we take into doing, you know, it could be a mom and pop shop. I mean, we have solo entrepreneurs all the way up to some of the largest companies in the world. And our goal going forward is really spread the word that do things right. And one of the things that we have coming up that's very important for us on June 26th is what we spoke to Mayor Kasim Reed about is going to be a social media day as by proclamation in Atlanta.
Okay.
So that's going to be a very exciting event. We're holding it at a renowned night spot in Atlanta called Tongue and Groove. Everybody's probably been there at one point in their
it's
life.
It's in Buckhead, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're having it there from starting at 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock on June 26th for social media day. It's no cost at all to register for the event. We do have some VIP tickets for those people that
want that special treatment.
You know, so I think that if you work hard, you play hard, and you deserve to treat yourself to a VIP time, you know, with us. And you're going to be really around the top digital marketing and online marketers in media people in Atlanta in the greater Southeast. We have a lot of people that are coming in from out of town just to participate. We expect a very, very large audience. And outside of SMMU, you know, that's our short-term goal is to bring Social Media Day Atlanta to really a forefront across the nation.
Well, can you let our listeners know again the date, time, place, and where they sign up for this?
So they go to socialmediadayatlanta.com. It's June 26th. It'll be held annually on the fourth Thursday of every June going forward. It's, you know, Governor Deal has really congratulated us for putting it out there. It's going to be 6 p.m. It's going to be held at Tongue and Groove. So again, go to social.
It's a really fun venue, guys.
Yeah, absolutely fun venue. We're going to do a little after party after. It's going to be a great night. You may be calling in a little bit late for work on Friday. so hopefully.
I might just want to take Friday off.
Yeah.
To sink in all the knowledge you're about to get.
Exactly. I think so. But with socialmediadayatlanta.com, our core company's website is smmu.com. And I spoke to you about before about the call today at 3 p.m. with Ekaterina Walter. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. One of my really good friends. You know, her book on Think Like Zuck is great. And she participates in what we call our Thought Leader Series. And we have that on Thursdays on an ongoing basis. And that's at smmu.com/thoughtleaders.
Okay, perfect. And again, let's just recap who all the people that should go through these courses right there, the job titles they hold, or if they're just coming out of school, or who all benefits so much from the
University. So when you look at who benefits from Social Media Marketing University, anybody that's doing any business online in any way, anybody that's doing any sales for a business online in any way, if you have a sales process for your company, you need to have a digital and social media strategy. Whether you believe – see, it goes back to, you know, as a finance guy, you know, when I speak to a lot of guys in the investment banking world, they're like, you know, that's you know, it's a bunch of fluff. It doesn't really work. It's really irrelevant what you think about social media. Is that this is another channel. This is now another conduit to expose your brand to other people. Because you have to think about it. What do people do before they do a buy? They go ahead and they start doing research. And if you go to your Facebook page and your page hasn't been updated in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, do they buy from you? Or do they buy from your competitor who's a hell of a lot smaller than you, but they update that thing on a constant basis? Do they buy from you if they go to your Twitter page and you don't have one? Do they buy from you if you don't have a blog? Do they buy from you if your profile on LinkedIn doesn't have your picture and it's outdated? These are all things that you need to take. This is another way that when people go ahead and they do that double check before.
It takes 30 seconds on my phone to do all this.
Exactly. And that's the challenging thing is that, and I think that's where it really resonates with every company CEO, small, medium, and large. Everybody does research before they buy. And when they do that research is what you want to come up coming up, or is what Google's showing them coming up? Is that going to help you? Is that going to hinder you during that process? That is extremely important. And I always tell everybody is that you want to take this, you want to own your social media, you want to own your company's name, you want to own everything. I mean, from start Definitely. To finish. And that's really what it is. And you go back to is that, you know, who are the types of people? Marketing people, CEOs, anybody that has a sales process, anybody that's maybe between jobs. What we see a lot of points right now is a lot of people are trying to find jobs and they're trying to recreate themselves. They may be in a situation that they're 40-ish, 50-ish, and they don't really know what to do, but they have a great business aptitude. Well, learn social media, and I will guarantee you, you will find a job very, very quickly at a very good salary rate, because people that know what they want, know what they need to know in a social media and digital marketing world, and understand the sales process, understand what a sales funnel is, and understand how important, you know, lead generation, branding, and revenue is to a company's bottom line, will do extremely well in this industry. And our goal is to have those people you mentioned before about have one in every state. Our goal is to have 500 plus people, you know, representing Social Media Marketing University and Social Media Magic on an outbound basic direct sales basis across the nation in the near future.
All right. Well, give your contact information one more time for the listeners.
My name is John Souza, Social Media Marketing University, and the website name is smmu.com. To sign up for our Social Media Day Atlanta, go to socialmediadayatlanta.com to register. And for our thought leader series, it's smmu.com/thought leaders.
All right. Well, thanks to all our guests today for being on and giving us so much good information. Appreciate it, guys. And thanks to our friends over at Band of Coders for sponsoring this and making this all happen. This is Kevin Finn for Business Radio X and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.